This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right. Happy Earth Day to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And happy B. Scott Tuesday to you. Brandon K. Scott, B. Scott from Hiram Clark, joins us in studio. What's happening, man?
Man, I'm good. The answer to the question, condiments.
Oh, when you got to hear, it's an extra 25 cents for honey mustard.
You must be out your mind.
Oh, that's a good one.
You must be out your mind. Yeah. Like, here's the 25 cents, but really, though?
Yeah. Why you really got to call out McDonald's like that, man?
All of them. It's not like it's just McDonald's. All of them do it. Uh-huh. It's like, hey, you know, that's going to be an extra 10 cents. Or
like, you need it that bad? You that broke out here?
Or if you don't want to drink with your order and you're like a cup of water, well, it'll be 50 cents or a dollar for the cup.
Man.
And I'm like, really? Whatever extra dollar that you're making off of this actual meal that costs me more than it cost y'all to make it isn't enough.
I just bought 2 quarter pounders. You give me 50 cents for a cup of water?
Really? and then Burger King is the worst because they'll give you that little cup of water that ain't nothing.
Yeah, it's a little plastic.
It's got about as much water in it as you got probably spit at the tip of your tongue. And they going to offer that to you as water?
Yeah.
Don't dare try to charge me 50 cents for that.
Those are fun coming in. I promise you, I'm not reading them all on air, but I am reading y'all stories of the worst thing that's happened to you on your birthday. And let me tell you, I'm gaining enjoyment for whatever that's worth. Yeah, that might not mean nothing to you, but it is meaning something to me. And I do appreciate the person, even though I don't understand it all, from the 832 who said, I will not pay for a steak at a restaurant.
I know what he's doing.
I do think you have to be real smart about the places where you do pay for a steak. Because I paid for a steak yesterday at a dinner, and I was like, don't think it was worth the cost that I paid. Yes. Ultimately, it's cool. But I was like, I really and truly think that it was a lesser quality steak than the cost that you ultimately paid.
That spot got me like that one time. Paid like $50 for a steak, and this was the thinnest steak.
Yep.
Cheap. I'm like, man, I shouldn't have got it.
Hey, you know what I could be that way about? Something far less elegant than steak or as renowned as steak. Eggs.
Oh, yeah, nowadays.
Right?
Yeah, nowadays.
Like, we were there together, right? In New Orleans.
Oh,
and look,
I forgot.
I can make my own omelet, you know.
I actually rolled past that place.
Well, you said
while I was
we
in
were
New
there
Orleans this weekend.
I was not there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You weren't there. Oh, you were.
Because I had foresight. Y'all didn't see the vision. I was like, we need to go home. Y'all was like, nah, we want to go get breakfast. I was like,
man,
y'all
this
got
place
it.
In New Orleans. This place in New Orleans took an hour and a half to make me an omelet, man.
I ordered chicken wings and they came out before the omelet. I sat there. I tried to be polite. I'm like, you know what? Let me eat these wings. Man, I had to ate my wings, I was full, and they still ain't get their omelet, to the point B. Scott was like, hey, man, just give me my money back, man.
I offered to go back there and make the omelet myself.
Yeah. It was like, man,
it's just eggs, bro.
That's exactly what he said.
Because I don't really cook.
Yeah,
I do eggs. You know what I'm saying? Like, how hard is this?
That's the first one. If you learning to cook, is getting the eggs into the game. Like, yeah. That's the first one in the repertoire, right?
Yeah. Any dummy can make can scramble an egg or flip an omelet. Like, what are we doing?
It took a long time too, man. We start. People,
I guess if you got
we
your
start
wings.
Seeing people come in, come out, and we're like, man, they order before. Show was like, hey, they order before us.
Of course, Show was instigating. Sorry, we've taken this all off the rails just because B. Scott got triggered right quick about some eggs, man.
Really triggered. Buy some eggs, buy some condiments. Don't get me started on them V-Bucks for my kid. You pay for the game, and then $25 more.
Oh, yeah.
$100 more.
The game done changed up.
The game is $500, $600. Anyway, let's get around the NFL.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's go around the NFL. We are well, how many days? The math is very bad here.
2 days,
two days from the draft. Because there's, so two more sleeps. Yeah. Sleep tonight, sleep tomorrow. Yep. Okay, two more sleeps.
Two more sleeps.
That's the easy way to do this, even though it really shouldn't be. Two more sleeps till the first round of the NFL draft. And Jonathan Jones, who works at CBS Sports, he's a very good insider. I think he's a Carolina, he's from Carolina originally. Good dude, good reporter. He put out a mock draft, and Lopez, why is this of import? Because, I mean, there's a lot of people putting out mock drafts this time of year.
Well, this is the only mock draft he does. Every year he does one mock draft, and it's a few days before the draft. So he, you know, he sort of gets all this information, does all his work, and last year he was the only one of note, anyway, of national guys, that actually had the Atlanta Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. He had it correct. And he had several other things correct, but that was the one where people went, are you nuts? And then he was right. So he just put out his only mock draft of the year, and there's some interesting things on it.
Yeah, the most interesting one is that who he does not have in the first 32 picks, and that would be Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback at Colorado. He has him falling out of the first round. So all the places where you would think of a quarterback going, right? So nine, he has him taking Kelvin Banks Jr. To bolster that offensive line in New Orleans. And then where else would you think of a quarterback going, what, 21?
He only has one quarterback going in the whole first round.
He has Kenneth Grant, the interior defensive lineman, going to a Steelers team, which that feels a lot more Steelers MO, like focus on the dirty work, on the lines, on those types of things. And yeah, so he only has Cam Ward, which I've got to admit, fellas, that feels a lot more in line with the value of the actual caliber of players that you have in here. Like, you have one quarterback that you go, maybe he's going to be in the relative upper echelons of being a quarterback in the league. And then the rest of this is just like, no need to overvalue the quarterback position simply because it's the quarterback position.
It seems like at some point the market has corrected itself here on this particular draft, at least, where it's like, hey, there are teams that need a quarterback, but the value of a first-round quarterback, how many of those guys are actually in this draft?
Yeah.
And I think most people would tell you, if you take aside the quarterback craze, there's really only one that you would do that with.
And that's possible, right? If we'd call him books, because I saw someone say this, and this felt kind of wild, but they were like, even Cam Ward, in another draft year, he would have been like fifth quarterback or what have you. And I was like, that feels a little reckless. But at the same time, I don't think it's entirely wrong. This is just a weaker quarterback.
Well, if not the fifth, I think fifth quarterback is a little bit of a stretch, but certainly not the number one overall.
Not even close.
Right? Like maybe the second or third quarterback, which pushes him back down to the 10th to 15th pick or something like that. Like that feels more in line with what you might expect. The Shedeur Sanders thing, and it's not to discredit him as a player. I think he was fine at Colorado. He's got, honestly, a hell of a story as a player, but when you watch him, you do not see first. I do not feel like you see first round talent. Never have. I think a lot of it has to do with, and I've mentioned this on the show before, two part, the fame of the Sanders name along with the quarterback craze, I think provided this like narrative of, hey, well, could Shedeur Sanders be a top 3 to 5 pick or a top 10 to 15 pick? Where if we weren't so quarterback crazy and if Shedeur last name wasn't Sanders, I don't think we would have ever talked about him
So this guy who does a really good job on the mock, only does one mock draft, takes it very seriously and has been very accurate, has some other...
Jones. I almost thought, in my head, I was like, what's his name again? I almost said Jonathan Joseph, and I was like,
Jonathan Jones.
That's not the person.
He has some other interesting things worth mentioning. He has Matthew Golden going to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I've heard that a lot more recently, the idea, because they do need... They need somebody to help CeeDee Lamb out. CeeDee Lamb is their one and only like real target, and I think he was like 4-4, or he was basically like 50% on like big play opportunities because he's the only one there. So teams are able to load up on him. So they need somebody opposite him. That's there. It feels like the Cowboys absolutely have an opportunity to take a talented player who is one of those weapons that I think people like Larry Stafford and others on the Texans, Texas fan base really want the Texans to kind of consider.
Get your thoughts on these as well, B. Scott. Colston Loveland, as we might expect, going to the Colts. Has Tyler Booker going to the Bengals at 17. And then I know you're wondering about the Houston Texans. He's got the Houston Texans actually getting Gray Zabel in the interior offensive lineman at 25.
Yeah, and I'd be fine with it. I could live with that. I think the big takeaway from the mock is two of the names that you mentioned, Golden and Booker. Him having Golden go to the Cowboys wasn't, in my mind, I wasn't thinking as much about the Cowboys as much as, and everything you said, Reggie, is true, but I was just thinking like, oh man, if he's got that dude going 12, it ain't no way he lasts to 25. And I don't think we probably thought he would anyway. If they were going to get him, that's somebody they would have to trade up for.
Yeah.
But between Golden and I guess Tyler Booker for me is the offensive lineman that I have my eye on. Both of those guys seem like they're going to be out of reach over the based off of the what I've been reading over the last couple of weeks, and certainly based off of this mock draft.
But that's the weird thing about this particular draft is that once you get past like 10, you could reasonably see some guys going up, you know, in 10 in the early teens or what have you, or you could see dudes going to like 30, right? Like there's just, it really is an individual, or I guess in a way, organizational value proposition on who you like in various circumstances and who fits with what you're doing. So it'll be a really interesting perspective, and I guess this is a place where I can bring up the fact that Albert Breer, in his latest dispatch, he seems to lean into the idea of the Texans being, their scuttlebutt being about the Texans being one of the, you know, biggest proponents of possibly trading up to possibly acquire a player.
I think that's the least shocking development of all the Texans news that we probably got.
Certainly.
Like Albert Breer, but I do think it's relevant because it's Albert Breer. And we all know sort of the background, the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, Albert Breer doesn't have a reason to, any motivation to guess on this type of thing.
He doesn't have to.
That's what I'm saying. he has a line on the direct source and is able to get sort of this information independently. So if he's willing to put it out there, I'm willing to bet that he got it off of a solid, you know, solid sourcing.
And then last thing that a lot of people get curious about is if they got Gray Zabel at 25, who did they potentially pass on in this draft? Get your thoughts on this. Josh Connerly was there at 25. They passed on him. He goes to the Lions at 28. Luther Burden III, 29, to the Titans. And then Igbuka going 32 to the Raiders.
And Emeka Igbuka is the one that's very interesting because he seems like, and his name will come up again as we continue through the show because C.J. Stroud mentioned him. Or I guess he was talked. He was asked about Emeka Igbuka, to you know, be completely fair. But Connerly is interesting because you know with the offensive line, it feels like there's a little bit more depth with you know one of the positions like outside tackles versus guards.
Yeah,
and so it kind of makes me wonder: are teams more interested if they want to kind of get one or the other? And would they more want to wait for the guards or more want to, you know, get the tackles early or vice versa, especially for a team like the Texans that could reasonably take both in the first four picks?
Yeah, and to me, I guess logically it would be the tackles in the first round. That's just like talking about positional value and depth and like if you're trying to get a guy, right, and you figure, hey, I need a tackle, I'm going to try to get him in the first round. It seemed like tackle would be the one, but – you know, for the Texans, I think they are very specific to the need of guard. And I know they talked about drafting the best player available. That's what's going to be the most interesting part for me. Because I can think of a lot of different scenarios where they either go with the best player available or they go with the guy that makes sense for what they've got going on. And to me, this pick with the Gray Zabel thing, like this exact mock, for example.
Yeah.
Gray Zabel, I do not think is the best player available for them at 25. Speaking to John's question about, hey, how do you feel about the guys they pass up? I feel like Igbuka could be one of those guys. Connerly could even be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you could make an argument, and this probably speaks to the depth of the draft or just how this draft is made up. But, like, it's going to be an interesting thing to see if they actually stay true to that best player available mantra because this would not, to me, be that.
Best player available is also funny because that kind of flattens a theory, a thing that is really complex. Like, Emeka Igbuka is a type of player where he just kind of does everything and has a willingness. But and correct me if you believe I'm wrong, right? Because I'm working off of what I've surmised through this draft process, which is super, super, super high floor. Super, super, super high floor. Maybe not super high ceiling.
Yeah.
Right? And so does that strike you as best if we're talking about best early on compared to Josh Connerly, who he's starting off in a cool place, but he was only, 1 year starter at Oregon with a lot of room to grow. Mm-hmm. Does that strike you as best? Like, best is such a relative term in some ways when you really dig down into it. And, of course, now I'm getting existential in some ways, but I do wonder how the Texans would do that.
No, but to the question, though, I think that for where the Texans are, high floor players are good. Like, yeah, to answer your question, yes, that works for me. When you have a team that's already got C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon is around for the time being. Like, they've got enough high-ceiling guys. Go, They don't have enough, I think, high floor wide receivers.
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, I would
that is fair.
I would go with that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You could sell me on that 100%.
All right, before I let you go here around the NFL, I do want to get you this. Are you guys familiar with Dan Patrick?
Of course.
Right, legend in the game.
I was going to say,
which one?
No, not that one. You've got to know me one. Well enough to know that I'm not trying to lose my job.
Hates gambling.
I was just like, yeah,
that is the most.
Both of them. Yes, I am.
That is the most kind first thing to bring up when we're talking about politician Dan Patrick. That is the most inoffensive thing that we can talk about.
Where are we
with
going
Dan
here
Patrick
on the
platform? No. We are not going there.
713.
No. No. I would rather go to break.
Around the politics.
No, absolutely not. I will not do that to you. But Dan Patrick, he is a legend in the sports broadcasting game. And he seems to have a little clout. And he could throw it around. And he seems to want to throw it around for this particular dude to make the Hall of Fame. This is him talking to Mel Kiper Jr.
You changed an industry. What you have meant to the NFL, it's a different version of John Facenda. Like, he was the voice, and you were the draft guy. Like, look at what it's a cottage industry that you created. Oh, yeah. That is contributions to the game. I know you're modest. I don't care. I'm going forward with it. You deserve to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Let me jump in first on this one, because there's a lot mistaken there. No. Look, first of all,
I
think I'm going to agree with John. I can sense it.
Number one, this is not the Hall of Fame like Gold Jacket. This is the contributors. Okay. And number two, he should already be in as a contributor. So this isn't like a big controversial take. And number three, he didn't change the game. Joel Buschbaum changed the game. Some people may not remember that
Joel
name.
Joel Buschbaum. I've often talked about Joel Buschbaum personally.
Yeah, no, Joel Buschbaum
same here.
Was the first person to do this, and Mel Kiper stole it from him.
Whoa!
Or at least copied it. Like, go back and search Joel Buschbaum NFL. Bill Belichick spoke.
My computer's not trying to work with me.
Bill Belichick spoke at his funeral. Because he became such a good friend and used all his information. So first of all, this is not a controversial thing. He should already be in. It's a contributor, not the Hall of Fame. And Joel Buschbaum, who, by the way, posthumously, was put into the Contributors Hall of Fame.
All right, so I guess
so. He's pretty much Doce.
Wow.
So I'm on the other side of this because I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I don't get what the contribution.
John McClain is in the contributors.
That's fine. So if you want to put him in,
don't say it like that. Let me defend my boy
that's
John.
True.
Don't do that.
John McClain.
Thank you. Let's say. Hold on.
So if that's what it is, the contributors, then fine. Yeah. But like this, the campaigning for it. Like, I mean, to me, he helped television. This isn't really that much to me contributing to the game. Now, you could say tangentially it does help the game but I just don't view it that way. To me, it's a roundabout way of helping the game.
But it's an important one, right? Like, the idea that the NFL is a 12-month sport is because we have draft season as well.
For me personally, is not Hall of Fame worthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That now, if there is a place for that, then fine, I'm not going to fight it. But I don't feel the need to recognize that.
I didn't anticipate that it was going to go. I should have given y'all more time to go for it.
No, I was like, what's
the deal?
And
then Instacate, I should have thrown a bomb in there, too, and seen if y'all went at it.
Hey, if John McClain can get in, Mel Kiper.
Hey, wait, hold on.
Let's put Matthew Berry in too for fantasy sports. I mean, like,
you're not going to talk about my legend like that. That's
media
crazy.
Us media people got to get over ourselves. Man.
You're not wrong with that regard.
Seriously. We are not that damn cool.
We do a lot of navel gazing in this industry, don't we? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. B. Scott in with the fellas on a Tuesday. Coming up next, speaking of B. Scott being here, let's get into B. Scott's thoughts. And I have a strong feeling that it's going to be hoops related. We'll do it next. Yeah, the people love it when B. Scott from Hiram Clark is in studio on In the Loop. And without any further ado, B. Scott, what's your thoughts, baby?
I am not panicking just yet.
Ooh, I don't like that you had to put the just yet in there.
Not panicking just yet, but I am incredibly nervous.
Okay.
About some of my series predictions.
I did forget a week ago you were like, this is a championship team, baby. Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, man. I am
literally 1 week ago right now.
I am quite nervous about some of the things that I put out there in the air or on the air for public consumption before this series. I think there are some arguments for panic. There are some reasons for concern. I'm not going to panic yet. But, man, I sat there at that game on Sunday night, and I thought that the Rockets guarded for the most part. There were some exceptions, but I felt like they guarded about as well as they could expect and still didn't really have an answer for Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler. That Amen Thompson game of shutting down Steph Curry to 3 points feels like years ago.
Yeah. Hey, we didn't talk about this a lot yesterday, and I was like, I kind of felt bad, but I also was like, I don't need to necessarily put too much fuel on the fire. However, yo, Amen.
Yeah.
Can you show up for us, brother?
And I didn't feel like he necessarily didn't show up as much as whatever he had just didn't matter because Steph Curry had solved the riddle at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's another part of it. I saw a team in the Warriors that looked like it'd been there before, and I just didn't give that enough credit because I thought the physical matchup was so much in the Rockets' favor that experience in the long run would not be enough to save the Warriors. And I'm going to stick to that because that's my series prediction.
I still think that'll matter, though.
And I think it will matter, too. But watching that game gave me a really good reminder of the value of experience and knowing what the hell you're doing. And also just how great this guy, Steph Curry, and Jimmy Butler also, well, how great those guys actually are.
Two things, you know, on your second point. I said this yesterday, and Reggie kind of bristled, but I will stand by it.
All right, I'm getting ready to bristle again. Don't doubt my ability to bristle, okay?
Jalen Green wilted.
He did.
He wilted.
I mean,
you know, and that's did. You can't have that.
Yeah,
you can't have that in the postseason. It hurts to say. It sounds awful to hear. But he did.
He either wilted or just straight up didn't perform. Either way, I mean,
neither is
good.
How do
you want to describe it?
Yeah. It's like it doesn't really matter what exactly is the reason why. Like, they needed him and he didn't show up. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
He's got to be. And to his credit, it was one of the first things that he said in postgame was, I've got to be better.
Yeah.
We can't have Alper Şengün out there by himself scoring the ball. All of us need to contribute in that way. Starting with me, I need to be better.
And then the other thing, and we mentioned this, I think, Thursday. I was going through, like, the 7 points of what a championship team must have. You alluded to one of them. Like, they have a superstar. You know, they have a true superstar.
They got one and a possible. I was actually, and this is a weird thing to kind of put in this framework, considering that, yes, Steph Curry was doing the geometrically impossible shots. I was more impressed by Jimmy Butler in this because it was the quietest 30-something points that it felt like. It just very, very easily, very nonchalantly, he slides into whatever. I mean, think about it now. He's been on a number of teams where what he does, just he manages to make it work in the circumstance.
He's like a cyborg. He analyzes everything in an instant and knows exactly what to do. So that's one, and I want to get your thoughts. The second thing is I have a feeling like in the next year, 5 years, or whatever, we're going to point back to this and as one of the many examples of you really have to get there first, you know, before you can
win. You ending this before it even started.
I'm not, but I'm saying they look like a team.
Yeah.
That had never been there before.
Yeah, and I'm just going to admit it now. I was way too quick to discount experience and lean too much into the physical matchup, which I still believe is, for the most part, in the Rockets' favor, save for this whole Steph Curry thing. Like, I came away from the game like, man, that is – I don't know exactly what you do with some of that because there were times when they didn't guard well, but even when they did, and they did for the most part, it just did not matter. He still had an answer for it. And he's got this shot-making ability that, of course, we're all familiar with at this point, but it's still there, even at 37, 30, whatever he is at this point. And, like, it's a problem. It's an issue.
Can I attempt to encourage you on that Steph Curry point? I can never shake from my head 2016 Warriors, Cavs, and this name in particular is the insightful part of it. Matthew Dellavedova.
Yeah. Because
what he did in that series is they just decided, I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to use my physicality. And Matthew Dellavedova was not a large dude. He had a little bit of stock to him.
Yeah.
But that doesn't compare.
He played rugby or something, right?
Yeah.
Are we just doing a thing that he's Australian? I actually have no idea. He might have played rugby.
I think he did lacrosse or something. He played something because
that white boy played some other sport. I know for sure. No, I'm just playing. Figgy.
No, he does look like a dude that wore shoulder pads at some point.
Like the idea that, and you saw that take effect after, you know, three games in a series or what have you. Game one is not where you reap the benefits. That's where you sow. When I saw the sowing of Amen leaning on him and Fred leaning on him and Dylan leaning on him and at times Jabari leaning on him, I think that you can still see the benefits of that wear if you can extend out the series to 5, 6, 7 games.
So that's one piece, and I pointed out because it was the thing I was most confident in, that the defense would translate and that they would still be able to play the level of defense that they had throughout the season. And to their credit, they did hold the Warriors to 95 points. It only would have taken, that means, only would have taken 96, less than 100 points to win this game, right? Yeah. The math says that. So let's go to this part.
Okay.
Yeah.
This offensive identity issue.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, Lopez, you're talking about how they need a superstar. I think we all agree that you're better off with a superstar. They're not going out on a limb there. They probably need a superstar or for one of these guys to become one.
To become one.
To emerge as one. But if they could just, and maybe this is the underrated part in superstardom, but if they could just find some level of consistency, I think they actually could, at least in this series, maybe not win a championship, but I think in this series they could do this thing by committee without a clear superstar. I think Alper Şengün is a good enough star to get you through it. If the other guys can just simply show up, show up. Don't have your backcourt go 3 of 30-something or 3 of 20, whatever it was. Like, it was unacceptable. It was beyond just these guys don't have stars. They don't have consistent performers, like dudes that just show up for the game and just start in their role, play in their role. Yeah. To Alper Şengün's credit, he did that. To Jabari Smith Jr.'s credit, he did that. And that might be somebody that needs a little bit more of an increased role, at least on offense, since these guys can't shoot worth a damn, and he's one of the few who can. So to me, it's the offensive identity crisis that they have and the consistency issues that they've had pretty much throughout the season.
To your point, when it comes to consistency, that what is the age-old kind of easy talking point when it comes to the NBA? Superstars show up consistently, then the role players are the ones that go up and down. I think what you're finding is, in this course, it's one game, it's a small sample, so you can't take this as the end-all, be-all. We'll see how it continues to unfold as the series and playoffs continue to go for the Rockets. But as of right now, you're looking at a whole bunch of role players, right? High-level, mid-level, various-level role players, but you're seeing a whole lot of role players. And I say that with as much respect as I can muster in this instance. Like, you need guys that find their way to being some level of star player where you can find that consistency in those guys. Also, the thing about Jabari, I don't think you're wrong. The question that brings me back to when it comes to increasing his role is, how do you involve him? Because you still need somebody to set the table. He is not a creator. At best, he's maybe a connector, and I don't think he's that really anyways. He needs someone to set the table, and then that still comes back to your backcourt where either Fred VanVleet or Jalen Green, or honestly, both of them together need to give you some level of consistency even to get anybody else involved.
That's what it comes back down to. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, honestly, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It comes back down to those guys, and specifically to Jalen Green, I would say. He is somebody, I think this is important. He is somebody who, for the most part, throughout the season, has played closer to, not superstar, but closer to just star than role player. Except against the Warriors, where not only is he not a star, but he's not even a good role player against them. And that has to change. That absolutely has to change.
So it makes it very clear. I was going to ask the question, but I think it makes it very clear. Most likely to step into that role, even if they're not a superstar, in game two, it's Şengün, not Jalen Green, right?
Well, I mean, Şengün is already into that role.
Well, like, not really. I mean, he had a good... You know,
he's all they have. I mean,
he had good production.
Well, but if he ain't in it, then it's over with. I mean, he's the only one
that
got
doing stuff that is another level altogether. You know, facilitating. You know, and
I don't know why you're about to say, I thought you were going to say Felicity, and I was like, Felicity who?
And more points and clutch shots and half court moments. You know,
I mean, it's hard for me to ask more out of Şengün than what he gave you. Like, he is to me, Şengün is what he is. Jalen is the question of, hey, can you give me more facilitating, setting the tone like Reggie's talking about? Like, you need your guards to do that. And I'm not feeling great about saying I want Fred VanVleet to do it. Yeah. It needs to be Jalen Green, point blank, period.
He did have 7 assists in that game, though, Fred. I think the thing with Fred is just you got to knock down the easy ones.
Yeah.
Like, that's why his game felt so abysmal, is that you had good looks that you missed. If you're missing practice shots, that's when it gets frustrating. Jalen is a different level where it's like, yo, I need you to lock in and, like, get to the game plan, which is when you're attacking Steph Curry, you have to attack him and make you feel it.
Yeah.
And he had, I took note of at least 5 possessions. I think it was 9 as a total in the game where you were Steph hunting and you ain't come back with no pelts. You ain't come back with no heads. You ain't come back with nothing on your hunt. And he has to take charge of that.
He took a step back 3 against Steph. A step back 3.
Correct. Yeah.
bailed out the matchup.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can't have it.
Can't. Cannot. So super excited for what game two brings tomorrow at 8:30, TNT and Space City Home Network. And we'll break that down a little bit tomorrow. But yeah, man, I think I'm with you. I'm a little bit, I think I ended up being on the more positive aspect because I did see them hit some of the game plan notes defensively. And offensively, I saw some of the stuff, but it needs to be more, obviously, to get over to where you're trying to get to. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, another fantastic edition of B. Scott's Thoughts. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping, and we'll do it next. Now, I wasn't going to jump, Lopez. Don't even worry about it because a wonderful texter made sure to let me know in the second segment, like, hey, Reggie, the last thing you need to do is jump off size on your birthday. So that was your birthday gift. I appreciate it. I'll find the number so I can shout him out because I do want to make sure I appreciate my mans. And that's from the 620 who was like, hey, Reggie, what I need you to do is stay on size and what's popping. And I did that. So I appreciate you. It is my birthday on this Earth Day, on this Tuesday in the loop. And I'll say it one more time. If you are inclined to do anything for me, if you got a little extra that you can slice off of your budget, throw it on the Houston Food Bank. Throw it on the Houston Area Women's Center. If you do that for me, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Support Houston is the way that you can see me be happy on this day. Some other things that made me happy at what was popping. I don't know. I know, Lopez, you got yourself an EPL team. Mm-hmm. B. Scott, you got any soccer affiliations?
I don't have any soccer affiliations outside of the love that the Dynamo shows to this, but no, any Premier League, English League, none of that. I am a free agent.
Okay.
For a squad.
All right, so I might be able to do something for you because yesterday, if you're looking for an English Premier League side, you can root for the team that JJ roots for, his Burnley Football Club. They got promoted to the top division of soccer, so they'll be playing against the big dogs in Liverpool and Manchester City, and I guess you could say Manchester United or what have you.
Let me ask y'all this. Okay. Let me ask y'all this because I actually do want to engage with this.
Yeah.
I just need to know, especially as like this whole single parent thing that I got going on, my time and everything. Mm-hmm. When do these games, because they're on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
When do these games actually get played? How do I budget?
It's the best time slot.
That's what I'm asking.
It is
good. How do I properly budget my time to actually watch the games?
Here's what I do, even if it's not Liverpool playing, which is my squad. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So you get up, you're making breakfast. You know, put on the game, whatever it may be. If it's your squad, even better. Sunday morning too.
Saturday, Sunday morning, and then this time of year, you'll get some midday, like 2 p.m.
Okay,
which are night matches over there, right? Like they'll get their Monday night football in the same way as well, but it comes on at 2 over here.
Time zones screw me up so bad.
But can imagine like a Saturday or Sunday morning? It's perfect.
Yeah, it's a great way.
It's a perfect.
Now the only thing about it is, if you are the type of person like we are, where you're involved in so much sports, there's one, the fatigue that can happen, then two, that's the time where you typically get something done, right? You wake up on a Saturday, go and do some running around. But if you are just chilling at the house, it ends up being a nice way to wake up. Just put on some soccer in the morning. So
you
can do that if you are inclined to want to see JJ and his soccer team. They're going to be playing at the highest level next year.
There you go. And I'm a multi-screen, kind of like you, Reggie. And like with me, I got everything on my phone if I'm not watching it on TV. So I can take it with me, have it in the background. I don't necessarily have to be locked in
every moment.
So that's something that I could do, man. I just need to know, how do I budget my time
to really
engage?
It's a piece of cake, man.
It is.
Well, shout out to JJ and the Burnley squad.
Yeah, them Leeds United also came up, but y'all don't care about them, and I definitely don't care about no Leeds United. That's some personal stuff. Shout out to Man United, even though they be annoying me too. A person who's never annoying, a person who I love very much, and I'm not afraid to say that, and a person who makes me smile every time he sends out a tweet. Vernon Maxwell, Mad Max.
He's never annoying.
Not to me personally.
Yeah, not if you are on the right side of history.
That is right. If you are living right, you will have no problems with Mad Max. If you are living wrong or in the state of Utah, which maybe you could say the same thing, you will have some bad vibes. And I know that, you know, there's some people and some bad vibes necessarily after losing game one to the Golden State Warriors. Here's a little bit of encouragement from Vernon Maxwell. He tweeted this out yesterday. Quote, I know Rockets fans are still trying to get over the game one loss, but rest assured, things could be worse. Imagine being a Jazz fan sitting at home right now with no internet, teeth, or electricity.
And I value all of it. I value all three.
The petty of this is so good. I appreciate that he will never let up till his last breath.
Oh, he's been doing this at least a decade now.
At least.
I don't know anybody that hate Utah or the Jazz more than him.
He definitely hates them, but he has found a calling. Yeah, I think there is more. You know
what
I mean?
He's carved out a niche.
You know how you might love your job, but once you realize you're really good at it, you love it even more. Yeah. I feel like that's what's happening with him.
If you want to talk crap about Utah and Jazz fans, just go through his timeline.
Yeah,
you can get all kinds of material. All kinds of material.
And what's funny is it's not like he goes with the crazy bag. He goes to the same well. It's just he just hits it real hard, right? Yeah. Like he's just, I'm committed to the bit. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. But yeah, if you're looking for a little encouragement about your Rockets, there's that. How about this? Speaking of the Rockets, and I'll circle back around. I do want to make sure to get to this Astros victory because I really enjoyed it, and we'll talk about it even more later on in the show. But awful announcing. They do a good job kind of catching some things around the world of sports broadcasting. They put together the 2024-25 awful announcing local NBA announcer rankings. And so, I mean, they used kind of a poll system and they got some grades and some feedback from people that watch League Pass and watch all these different teams and obviously locals as well. How do you think the Space City Home Network crew of Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins ranked among the 30 NBA teams?
So I am a big Craig fan. I am a fan of Craig Ackerman. I'll say that much. I don't know if he is for everybody, you know, like if you don't know Craig's background, he had been the radio play-by-play for the Rockets forever until Bill Worrell retired and then took over the reins a couple of years ago. So, like, he brings a lot of radio energy, and there's nothing wrong with radio energy, but it's just a different kind of vibe. It's like, it does feel like a radio guy calling a TV game. I like it. I don't know if those who voted necessarily like it as much as I do. I'm gonna guess like 19.
Okay.
25.
Wow. Do you have anything that you would like to put on that?
No, look, okay. I think it's B. Scott hit it pretty directly. He's kind of a radio guy. I don't think, like, he does a good job, don't get me wrong.
I love the guy personally,
but a lot of it, it's how does it sound to the ear, you know? And a lot of national guys want it to sound like a national guy.
So are they including Ryan Hollins too?
Yes, it is. It is with both. It is the crew. Although it is just the call crew. This does not reflect at all on Vanessa Richardson. Interestingly enough, they did not add sideline reporters to this.
Just the 1-2 punch.
So the methodology, you know, gave different grades, and the most common grade for the Rockets crew is a C. And they are 17th.
Okay.
Oh, what did I have? 18 or 19?
I think you were 18, 19 right in there, and then you went 25.
Okay.
Some of the things that were said was, actually, their most common grade was a C. Most season, this season, saw them get more A's than F's, which was a big part of why they were able to, you know, have a better than many of the other booths that just had mostly C's. But a few of the comments was that two completely obnoxious homers, which... they can get to that place a little bit.
That's fair critique.
But on the positive side, underrated and great post Harden is some of the things that came in. Not a lot of feedback in that way. But, yeah, definitely, I mean, right in that halfway range, it seems like. Not necessarily for everyone is the way that. But I was like, all right, still, right in that vein.
Yeah.
I found that to be interesting.
I don't know them all by name, but I actually, you know, I'm a League Pass guy. So, and you know, League Pass gives you the local broadcast.
Are you interested in who's at the very top of this?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I've listened around. I would say that kind of seems to fit. They're not the worst that I've heard.
No, but they're not the best
by any means.
The number one broadcast by far, and you could say talk about bias, but I think
Mike Breen?
Is fair. Mike Breen on the new, and Clyde Frazier on the New York broadcast. Number two is the Brooklyn Nets broadcast, Ian Eagle.
That's what I was talking about, the sound. Yeah. People wanted to sound like...
they're actually pretty good. Yeah. I feel like they're not really homers either.
And then the third one is the Chicago Bulls, Adam Amin, Stacey King, which that's a great underrated broadcast. Yeah. I mean, obviously rated very highly.
Everybody you just mentioned is also doubles up as a national guy.
100%.
That was my point.
And I think that's why Figgy's saying what he's saying, because he hears them when they're on the national and they can't be homers. They're probably more homer on their local broadcast.
Maybe.
But they have that sort of model.
I listened to some, like, when it was just like a local broadcast, and they sounded just fine. Like, it didn't really feel like I was listening to the Lakers broadcast. Where is the Lakers at, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, that's talk about homers.
Yeah.
That is a good question.
Man, I was trying to listen to them. They were straight up homers.
But that's probably why, though, Figgy, because they're actual national guys, and so they feel probably. Figure people when they hear us, not just the locals, but everybody recognizes this voice. I got appearances to keep up around.
Yeah,
you know?
Interestingly, the Lakers ranked ninth, that booth of Bill McDonald and Stu Lance.
I was going to say, Chick Hearn ain't walking
the door. No, it's not. But they also had a big jump this year, and I do wonder how much is that is just like the excitement of having that team actually look even better than they had previously been.
Yeah, because I watched their local broadcast quite a lot, and they were very homerish.
I'm like, man, they
need to be around where the Rockets is. if that's what the Rockets doing.
This might not be great, but I don't really give local broadcast guys that much of a knock for being a homer, though. Especially if they're working for a network that's owned by the team.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you got to understand, once they went over to Space City and stopped doing the 18, whatever they were before that, they became officially Rockets employees.
Like the Root Sports Southwest.
Yeah, they're actually like not on the team, but a part of the team in the organization.
I don't give them any grief about it, but I don't like the trend. Around the country.
And it doesn't necessarily sound great.
Yeah. Right. What was the guy from that called it Charlotte Hornets games?
I forget. I was just looking at his name, and I feel bad that I forgot in this moment. It's Eric Collins, I think.
Yeah.
He did the skibbity dee 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 and whatever he'd be doing.
He'd be like, oh, my goodness.
He'd be yelling into that microphone. Somebody asked for the last place. Golden State Warriors. Bob Fitzgerald and Kalen Azarbek, and yes, you've heard a lot of things about them. They deserve to be last. But moving forward, I don't want to give this any more time because I got to give a little credit to the Astros, a 7-0 victory last night at home, and it was the bottom of the order really getting this done. Obviously, we talked about Zach DeZenzo. Cam Smith was pretty good in this. Obviously, you still had a solid addition from Jose Altuve, but it really was Brendan Rodgers with a couple of hits. And a run as well, and a double included in there. Yainer Diaz ended up with a run as well in this one, which hopefully you hope helps build up some things. He had a couple of hard hit balls. But yeah, man, a fantastic situation there. And then Hunter Brown just dealing as he constantly is. I think it's now 24 straight innings, shutout innings for him. And this was a 7-inning no hit bid. Actually, a combined no hitter all the way. Combined shutout is what I was going for between Hunter Brown and the debut 25 debut of Forrest Whitley, who took the last two innings of this one as well.
Yes. And look, Lopez had my eyebrows raised up last week when he just definitively said Hunter Brown was the ace. Not because I was arguing with you. Yeah. I was like, hey, you know what, Lopez? I hadn't really thought about that. But I think you might be on to something. I think I might be with you there. But look, this is how it's got to look. This is what it's got to look like for the Astros, getting everybody to contribute, doing this thing by committee, leaning on your pitching. You need Hunter Brown to be excellent. You need Framber Valdez to return. Yeah. And I know we're talking about yesterday's game, but we need Framber Valdez to return back to the ground ball specialist that he had been in the past. Like, it's like everything needs to go right for these guys for them to actually be competitive. And the Blue Jays could very well just not be very good. I'm not sure.
Well, their pitching was pretty damn good.
12-11 right now.
Yeah. So, right there. I mean, they also like do Blue Jays things. They kind of usually crater.
Yeah.
But to the Astros' credit, to keep it about them, this is 100% what it has to look like.
A couple things actually for you before we get out of here. You know how you know when a pitcher is an ace? When you look forward to watching him pitch as opposed to being a little nervous. And that's the difference between Framber and Hunter Brown. Every time Framber pitches, I'm kind of like, which one are we going to get? Every time Hunter Brown pitches, I'm like, I got to see that.
Yeah.
That's when you know he's an ace.
Yeah.
He's the ace. And then the second thing, just curious, how you playing Zach DeZenzo the rest of the way?
Ooh, good. I'm glad you asked this to him.
I don't know. I really don't.
That's a fair response.
Yeah, you can do it.
I'm not sure that I have a specific idea, but seeing him yesterday, I was like, well, it feels like, especially the way that Christian Walker's been going, that platoon needs to be there for at least the immediate future.
Mm-hmm. But the reason why I took the coward route of I don't know, man, this first base thing. Like,
but it doesn't have to be just first base.
I get it, but the reason why we're asking the question is in large part, because of first base, how do they keep getting it wrong? Not again.
I'm to the point where I'm not even sure that they're getting it wrong all this. Because, I mean, the Christian Walker, the logic is all there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to go to the supernatural. I think this is bad juju. I think somebody needs to sage the building. I don't know what they got to do.
I mean,
I
justified the Jose Abreu move because I knew his power was down, but he hit 300 the year before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's going on? What's this about?
But you got to get
this
him.
First base thing?
You've got to find more consistent at-bats for DeZenzo.
It does feel like that.
No,
without
on a serious note.
There or anywhere else.
Yeah, he's kind of having like that I'm in Thompson effect. Like, hey, man, I don't know what we're doing with him, but he's going to be out there.
Yeah, figure it out.
He needs to be out there doing something.
And he will be out there today. Joe Espada assured us of that. I'm not certain. I want to assume that it's at first base and give Christian Walker another day, but he didn't say that specifically, so we'll see what it looks like. What we will also see is Ronel Blanco. You talk about a guy who maybe makes you feel a little nervous going in.
Yeah.
He'll be facing off against Chris Bassett, who has been very good early on this season. So we'll see if the Astros do the thing where they go with a good game and then follow it up with a not-so-good game. Hopefully they can stack some games. That's always the goal in sports. B. Scott, always appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time, my boy.
This was fun. Happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got $25
Yeah, shout out to the 281. You ain't put your name on it. If you send back, so go ahead and let me know what your name is so I can shout you out fully. They said drop $25. Wow, $25 would be crazy. On the Houston Food Bank. Happy birthday, Reggie. You're awesome. Love listening every day. I appreciate you doing that. Dropping some little bit of money on the Houston Food Bank to help our fellow Houstonians and listening in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, the two probably most important Texans were kind of indirectly campaigning for the 25th pick yesterday. Who are you with on the potential pick? I'll tell you what I mean next.